Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. All those seem like wise words. We all know people who are slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger. Perhaps we are a bit like that ourselves, easily insulted, easily having a word of reply and retort when someone says something that rubs us the wrong way a bit. However, the main point here is not to speak about how we listen and talk with respect to one another, but actually how we listen and talk and respond to the word of God. God talking to us. That we have to do with God's word is clear from the context. You know, James has a habit of using a word in one sentence only to pick it up and develop it in the next sentence, either to build on a theme or to kind of use it as a jumping point for the next thing he's going to talk about. If you look back, for example, in verse 4, he spoke about lacking nothing, while in verse 5, he wrote about lacking wisdom. And we notice in our verses just before our text for this morning, James writes about God having brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of a first fruits from all his creatures. And then in our text, he shifts and he speaks about the implanted word. So that word follows us around here. Now, last week, we paid attention to those words before our text, and it was pointed out how being brought forth by the word of truth is an example of the good gifts from our Father in heaven, who is described as the Father of lights. And you may recall that James' readers, they needed some kind of encouragement, they needed some kind of redirection, because they were facing various trials and temptations, and especially with respect to temptations, the thought seemed to have been there that this was also from God, and kind of God was kind of pushing them into evil. But then James says that's not possible. God is the Father of good gifts. And then he points to the various good gifts, and he gave us an example, you could say, the best of all gifts, namely being brought forth by the word of truth, which was pointing to the new birth, that is, to the Holy Spirit. But now as James continues in his letter, he shows that a Christian cannot simply continue kind of dwelling on his new birth. No, we must also grow up. For just like in real life, we can't stay babies, but we must grow up. That's the same in our spiritual life. But this growing up is tied to the Word of God, which gave us birth in the first place. Now, in the words of our text, James begins his exhortation to live, you could say, this new life, the life of grace that we have in the Holy Spirit. And essential to that is that we listen to the Word of God. And therefore, I proclaim to you this morning, to grow in the life of grace, receive with meekness the implanted Word. And we see three things. First of all, what virtue we must learn. Secondly, what vice we must get rid of. And third, what benefit we gain. So to grow in the life of grace, receive with meekness the implanted word. Now to see what virtue we must learn, to receive also this implanted word with meekness, with humility, we must turn to the opening verses of our text, which tell us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. As we mentioned, these are not just words of general advice, although, of course, they can be good for a general way of dealing with one another as well. No, but the focus here is especially of how we listen to the Word of God. That's also the sense we could pick up in our reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, where the preacher urged the listeners to be careful and to watch their steps when they went to the house of God. He said, "To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools." And then in the next verse he said, "Do not be rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. Let your words be few." Now it's interesting, in Ecclesiastes 5, he seems to be dealing especially with the matter of making vows before God. But the point is clear, though. that we should be slow to speak. We need to be quick to listen. We have to watch our words. We are too quick with our words in general. Now, of course, even if you start to develop the ability to hear, it is possible to hear and yet not really be listening. That happens when you ignore what you have heard. You've registered it, but it doesn't really begin to shape you. So that listening, of course, also has to be shown in terms of following through on what you hear. You could say in terms of also obedience. When parents say to their children, listen to me, then they're really saying, well, obey me, do what I tell you to do. For true hearing, therefore, includes also obedience. Now, hearing and obeying God's word as it has been given to us, that truly is a Christian virtue. And it's not a virtue that comes easy to us, either in our human relationships or in our relationship with the Lord as he speaks to us in his word. As you mentioned, that's our focus, how we respond to the Lord and his word. For what is really our nature? How do we stand over against the word of God? Now, it can easily be said that our default almost seems to be that we are slow to hear, even quick to speak. It's interesting, you know, that the Lord calls us to be childlike in our faith in the sense that we should be trusting, like children will trust their parents. But it's also possible to be childlike in a negative way in terms of that we are listening but not really taking in what we're being told. And so children, parents discover, and children ask another for themselves, that they can actually be selectively deaf. They know very well what mom and dad are saying to them. It's fully registered, but they just pretend that they didn't hear it. Little tasks are asked, and they just keep on playing. They heard, but they're not going to do it. In our heart, there lies a rebellious spirit, which is not always ready to submit to that word that has been planted into us by the Spirit who has come to us, who has given that to us. We're not always ready to respond to it. Now, this may come across as overstating the case a little bit. However, let us consider a few aspects. Think first of the way that we read our Bibles. For how do we read the Word of God? Does it happen at times that we come to a part that we don't like, so we might even just skip it, or that we come to a challenging part that kind of doesn't rub us, that rubs us the wrong way, and without much further reflection, we quickly say, well, I don't agree with that, or I see it differently. Or we read what it says, and we know what God's teaching is. It's not really, many things in the Bible are not ambiguous at all, they're very clear, but we simply don't do it. Because to do what actually the Scripture calls us to do calls for self-denial. And self-denial always is painful when you have to say no to yourself. We don't like to say no to ourselves. Because certain sins are quite comfortable. We like doing them. And the Lord says, no, don't do them. And yet, it's hard to say no to the things that kind of make you feel good, according to the old nature. Let's go a little further and think of the matter of the preaching of the word. For how do we stand over against the preaching? How do we receive the preaching? What's the attitude that we have as we listen? If we're honest with ourselves, then we realize the truth of James' words as well. For we can easily also there be the opposite of slow to hear, quick to speak, and we can even be quick to anger. Because we don't like what we hear. It doesn't sit the right way. It doesn't fit into our scheme of things. So what happens when also a sermon at certain points exposes certain sins in our lifestyle, certain wrong ideas that we kind of cherish, that are not in accordance with God's will? It's possible that there comes within us very quickly also the ability to argue against it. It's amazing how imaginative we can be and how quick we can be to try to nullify what the Word of God also is revealing to us. It can even happen also as we listen that we go home afterwards from hearing a sermon, and it's not always a joyful attitude, but kind of an anger because we were told certain things that rub against the old nature and it doesn't sit well. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to take to heart the exhortation, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, when it comes to the Word of God. This means that when we read God's Word, or we have it proclaimed to us, then we have to kind of sit back, you could say, and we have to take it in carefully and thoughtfully. So we have to mull things over, to use that kind of expression, reflect on what we have heard. And should there come a question in our mind about a certain point, well, then we have to hold our tongue, you could say. We better do some thinking, we better do some reading, some studying, because remember, we are dealing with the Word of God. And there's no sign of wisdom if we have a word ready immediately. It's a sign of wisdom if we go home and we think, I better think about this. Or we take the time off from our own scripture reading. I have to think about this before I really come to any conclusions on it. Now you can sense that this has some very important implications for the way that also we listen to sermons week after week. Or also, it almost makes you think, what is my general attitude? How do I come to worship? Do I come with my mind open to be instructed, or do I come perhaps at times with a suspicious attitude? Do I come, it's kind of an inspector that, you know, when the inspector goes to the building site, he has the building code and he has to check off if everything is being done just right, and if not, then they have to fix it up again. Do we come to church with our own little checklist, and if the minister doesn't quite fit, not able to put in all checks and all the boxes that we have before us, then we are kind of going to be upset also with what we hear that particular Sunday. But then we think also again of that virtue that James holds before us, that we have to listen with an open mind, saying, what now is the Spirit pleased to speak, say to me to this day? In a sense, you have to see, think also of the words of Psalm 85, verse 8. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. For you see, the Lord wants to see his children eager to hear, to learn, to be fed. That's part of being born anew, that you have a whole different attitude towards his word. You don't push it away. No, you want to take it in. You want to be open towards it. Now, parents know how frustrating it can be when children refuse to listen. You know, it's a problem of youth. And I'm not picking on the youth here, because every parent has been a youth at some point, and they know when they think back sometimes, yes, when I see my children do these things, I know I was there one time too. But the problem of youth is that you think you know it better than other people. And then it takes years for a person to grow up, and then parents also will look back and you say, well, I said some stupid things when I was young, and I thought I knew it so well. If I only could take those words back, but you can't, because, well, you said them very quickly. In the youth, you say some things that you might be embarrassed with when you turn 40 or 50 or 60 and say, I wish I'd never said that. If I had known better, I'd been a bit more quiet, learned a few more things. So you think about that. You know, your parents have gone through that as well. Everyone has gone through that, made those kind of mistakes. But at the same time, it can be frustrating for parents to see that, but also think about the Lord. And the Lord looks at his children, and he says, well, I've told you these things. And it's so clearly revealed to us in the scripture that we should also not frustrate our Heavenly Father and think that we know it better than he who is the God of creation, the God of providence, the God who knows all things, the God of wisdom. And so it is a sign of growing Christian maturity when we learn to accept meekly what God tells us. When we say, I don't understand this, it rubs me the wrong way, but that doesn't matter. I want to make every thought captive to Christ. I will work with it till I understand what God is telling me here. Really, as Christians, we have to learn more and more to say, let me hear what God the Lord will speak. Now you realize, of course, that this doesn't mean that you can never ask a question about a certain passage in the Bible, or a question about what a minister says in a sermon. On the contrary, thoughtful listening will always lead to thoughtful questions. It's a whole different thing, between a thoughtful question and an angry question. Thoughtful questions are good questions. But then always do that in the frame of mind, also as the question is asked, because you want to hear. Be quick to hear. So then there is that continued also, that being slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, as the virtue we must learn is to be quick to hear, to receive that implanted word with meekness and humility, that the word is right. Whatever I might think, the word is right. There is also a vice that we must unlearn. That's our second point. It only makes sense that if you want to learn something new, then generally speaking, you have to get rid of something old. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he writes about this, for example, to the Colossians or the Ephesians, he puts it in terms of, you could say, of changing your clothes. You have to get rid of the old clothes, the old ways, and put on the new ways. Catechism also speaks about it, and it talks about the true conversion or repentance of man, and it says we have to really put to death the old nature and to put on the new, because they both can't exist at the same time. Get rid of the one to make room for the new. Now, what must we get rid of if we are to receive the word with meekness? Well, James says that we must put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. And by this, he points to immoral thoughts, vulgarity, greediness, points to the abundance of evil that kind of wants to keep on bubbling up within our heart. You try to suppress certain thoughts and ideas and anger, but they always want to keep coming back up. It's these vices that are an obstacle to receiving the word with meekness. It becomes like a competition. They want to rule your life, but you say, no, I want the word to rule my life. For these things, as they bubble up and they want to dominate our lives, well, they are the opposite of meekness. You know, these vices, they can even make us defensive. When we are exposed in a certain sin, then we kind of want to justify what we are doing. For these vices make us slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger, also when it comes to God's word. Now, when James tells us that we must get rid of all filthiness and rampant wickedness, then actually, again, we see how much in touch James is with reality. You know, confessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ does not in an instant cleanse us of all our bad habits. Would be something, you know, if you became a Christian, it's like flipping a switch and all the old things were gone and instantly you were completely new. Never were challenged by your old nature anymore. No, it's one of those realities. Like we think of also what we mentioned from the Catechism, to put to death. It's an ongoing process, putting to death the old nature, putting on the new nature. It is kind of a constant struggle. But in that sense, it's good to keep in mind that just because this struggle is going on, that does not mean you are not a Christian. As a matter of fact, the presence of the struggle indicates that the Spirit is working in you. It doesn't disqualify you. You know, to think of the image of a baby again, we know that a baby is a full human being. But a baby has a lot to learn yet. And just because a baby cannot walk or talk or feed itself, we're not going to say, well, you're not really a human being. No, that is still a human being that has to undergo a lot of growing. So it is also with us as Christians. We are Christians further along, depending how where we are in a Christian life, whether we're still really infants, whether we're kind of adolescents, you could say, or have moved along to young adulthood, but we're all in the process of growing. But there's something very wrong, of course, if someone never gets beyond the spiritual baby stage. Even at home, you know, babies are cute, but you don't want babies to stay babies forever. You want them to grow up, to become grown-ups and to interact with them as grown-ups. Well, also for Christians, to grow up, to mature. Something very wrong if we remain spiritual babies, even after hearing the word of God. You know, in the letter to the Hebrews, it even speaks about the author says, well, you should be way past receiving baby food. We could say you have to now receive more adult nourishment. If we are never moving past the baby stage after hearing the word proclaimed for many years, after reading the Bible for year after year, then there is something wrong. If we are not busy identifying the vices in our life, seeking to remove them, there is something very wrong. In that respect, if someone claims to be a Christian and has been on for many years, maybe all his life, from birth you could say, but then there is no change, there is no effort to get rid of those vices and to walk in the way of the Holy Spirit, then others can indeed question your confession. You know, James will do that later on too in his letter, when he talks about faith and works, and he says faith without works is dead. So he kind of follows through on this very same theme. And so when we know ourselves, then we will realize James is right when he speaks about the remaining filth and bad habits. That reality is there, that sinful ways keep on popping up in our lives. We don't have to limit that to only the big things that people do, kind of atrocious sins and terrible sins, no, but also what might be considered the less serious sins. You know, sometimes people even call them the acceptable or the respectable sins, like anger or being greedy or mean thoughts. But all those things are part of the old nature as well. They're not really respectable in the sight of God. It's the Word of God that brings all these things out. And more, we think, especially as you work, for example, through the Ten Commandments with the help of the Catechism, probing to all the different commandments and what it all involves, and it flushes these things out, and then we have to realize, no, they have to more and more disappear from our life. I have to work at that. They don't belong there anymore. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to hear also this, or need to heed this admonition of James. If we do not strive to clean up our act, if we do not strive to remove our bad habits, then we don't really give room for that implanted word to take root and to become established. Then it cannot bear the fruit that the Lord desires to see in us. For in that respect, you know that God in his grace has come to us. He's given us new birth by the word. He has planted that word, made it very much a part of us. It comes to us. But as also is explained in other parts of Scripture, is then the Lord says, now I want you to get to work with that. You think of how Paul speaks to the Philippians. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because God is at work in you, to will and to work. He's working in you with the Spirit. He has given you the word. Work with it. That's our covenant responsibility. Now, having seen the virtue we must learn and the vice we must get rid of, with these two really going side by side, as we banish the one, the other one more and more becomes dominant, we come to our last point, what benefit we gain. Now, why is it so important to get to work on these things? Well, James points to it already in verse 20 when he says that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. In this way, we think of the righteous conduct that should flow from someone who has been changed by the Holy Spirit, who has been born anew by the Word of God. Because the fruit of faith in Christ really should be righteous living. It's only when we are meek, ready to submit to God's word, that we can make a beginning in producing fruits of righteousness. And we know things like anger is not a fruit of the Spirit, but of the flesh. Anger is even the root of murder. It doesn't belong in a Christian life. Now, it's different, however, when we receive with meekness the implanted word. Because James says in verse 21 that it is able to save our souls. Now, we know the important role the Lord has given to his word for our salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. You cannot really be a Christian. You can't become a Christian without the word. You cannot grow as a Christian without the word. Now, when we read that the word has the power to save our souls, then we should not see that too narrow, because salvation is not just that we escape the wrath of God, but it has the power to change our whole life, to make our whole life well again, both before God and our fellow man. That sense, you could say God's word has healing power. As we think of Psalm 19, the word of God really revives the soul. It picks us up, gives delight. And what this shows us is that when we have with meekness received the word, there opens up for us true life. There opens up for us true happiness. It's important to stress this, because from the day Satan came to our first parents in paradise, there has been the idea that true life and happiness is to be found by rejecting the word. And you know, Satan still tries that approach, tries to make people believe that if you want freedom, then you have to reject the word. Get it out of your life and just do whatever comes out of your own heart, supposedly the goodness of your own heart. And we know that never happens, because that's only evil that comes from the human heart. And the whole course of human history bears ample testimony that to what happens when you forsake the word of God. You get nothing but misery. When our first parents rejected the word, it brought the curse over the world. Hardships, misery, hard work. And even in our own day and age, you think of how in the last half a century there has been such a rapid rejection of the word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For many years, at least there might have been only a veneer, but at least the Christian faith and the Christian gospel did shape Western society. But now man has decided to throw it all away in the name of freedom, of man expressing himself, throwing off what they think are the shackles of God's word. But what does that kind of freedom bring? Does it bring happier life? Well, we think of what has happened in the last half centuries at a very rapid pace. You find untold broken families, miserable consequences for the children, untold number of children born out of wedlock. They don't have a normal family life. They don't have parents to look after them and love them. Untold numbers of children murdered before they even see the light of day. That's freedom. Kill children. That's what they do. Untold misery and disease because of sexual promiscuity. And you try to cover it up with all kinds of medication, but it has brought all kinds of misery. All this freedom has not really brought freedom, but brought a new bondage. And James shows us that the right way, the way of the gospel, is the only way which is able to save us, to give us true freedom and happiness. You should never forget that, brothers and sisters. The way of the gospel is the way of life, not just eternal life, but life already now. It shows us the way to live in this world. And therefore, let us learn to listen to our Heavenly Father as He speaks to us in His word. That word which, first of all, brings us forth, that has regenerating power. That word planted in us by the Spirit. It's not just the word out there, it becomes part of us. Let us work also then on the virtue of listening and fight those vices which hinder us from humbly listening and obeying. Because remember, only in the word lies the power of salvation. And so indeed receive with meekness the implanted word, so basic for growth in the life of grace. Amen.